Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our special guest this week is an expert on Greek mythology, the gods, and all that stuff. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating session with Hercules Invictus. And, of course, our guest co-host, no longer a guest, but a real co-host, is Tim Swartz. Hercules.
Greetings. I'm honored to be here.
All right. I never thought I'd talk to Hercules before. I never even met Steve Reeves.
No, I'm very surprised. And I never thought to be speaking with you. You're a real-life superhero, according to your biography. I look forward to hearing of your exploits.
Well, that's my secret identity. I can't reveal that to the public.
My apologies.
I get the impression, listening to what you're doing here, is that you cover ancient astronauts and what can be found in Greek mythology about their presence. Is that correct?
It's partially correct. Ancient astronauts is one way of looking at the Olympian entities, and it's been a very fruitful and productive way of doing so. But there are other ways as well. You can approach them through transpersonal neo-Jungian psychology as archetypes. I read an account that looked at them as vampires, and that was very interesting. So the ancient astronauts are one approach, one that I enjoy to understanding the Olympians.
Okay, Jungian archetypes. Now, we have talked on the Paracast from time to time about UFOs being manifestations of the collective unconscious, which is what Carl Jung did,
yes,
wrote about in the 1950s. So you're saying the Greek gods are also the collective unconscious?
You can look at them that way. I think they're a bit more complicated than any of the theories that we have about them. They seem to be internal and external in terms of our experience and our interactions. And the archetypes is certainly one way of looking at them. They represent aspects of humanity and human endeavor. They play themselves out through the stories that we live, both the individual simple stories that make up our lives, then the bigger stories that make up our culture. The myths are timeless tales that we still haven't worked our way through, as they still resonate throughout our popular culture and our scholarly explorations, as well as our more metaphysical and speculative explorations as well. So the Greek pantheon and their mythology is still with us because it's still very much alive.
I was wondering here with this, who created these myths? Is it just something passed from one person to another in verbally or through some sort of writing?
The answer to that is lost in the mists of time, and I don't think there's any one answer. There's a lot of speculation about how the myths started. A lot of people seem to believe that the ancients were primitives, and they made up the myths to explain why there was thunder and lightning, why there was daylight and nighttime, and so forth. But the Olympians seem to be entities of some sort. They seem to be intelligences. They're very interactive even to this day. In terms of how Jung looked at things, and Joseph Campbell to some degree, there are stories, and these stories are what we call mythology, and they describe incidents from our lives. So, for instance, if you look at the myths about Zeus, you could see a lot of the behaviors and actions of even modern-day politicians reflected in the myths told about Zeus and his family. Ares, you can look at the art of war and all the warlike things happening in our world as they reflect in the mythology of Ares. So these are the stories we're living, so they're alive. I think that part of my quest anyway is to become conscious of the stories that we're living so that you're no longer living the stories, but you're able to add variations to these timeless tales. I think the gods get stuck in stories and we're their way of unsticking themselves to these timeless accounts.
If they were entities, mm-hmm. were they primarily present way back when, or are they still around?
They're still around. People interact with them all the time. Many of the guests on my show, especially lately, I've been focusing on that, claim interactions with various Olympians. And if it was just their belief that they did so, that would be fine and interesting. But I've been getting synchronicities messages coming from different people who have nothing to do with each other and don't even know each other. Some of them can't even listen to the show, but I'm getting the same type of messages from specific Olympians from them. So I believe that they're still alive. I believe that they're still here today. I don't believe that they went anywhere, that they never left. There's no revival, it's just they're still here.
Any particular Olympian gods who communicate more or what?
They all seem to communicate equally. The gods are involved in various endeavors. For instance, heroic endeavors would be Hercules or Athena. You know, people who work in social work, people who work in public service, people who work as firemen, policemen. People who are in the business of helping other people in difficult times or through difficult times. So they're active in that sphere. Zeus is active in leadership, in politics, in vision, you know, having a vision that shapes an entire culture. Hera's concerned with marriage and social status and position and so forth. So their ancient domains are pretty much what they're still doing today. Folks interact with them in a variety of ways. Some people through meditation, some people through dreams, some people through prayer and astral projection, some people through synchronicities. They seem pretty willing to communicate to anybody willing to communicate with them.
How do these compare or contrast with other perceptions of God in our society?
There's this thing that people say. It's like, oh, God is not a old man with a white beard and white hair sitting on the throne. And to them, maybe not. But if you follow Olympus, that's pretty much Zeus, you know, white-haired and white-bearded gentleman sitting on a throne and looking at things from that perspective. The Greek pantheon, regardless of which way you choose to address them or interact with them, they're personages. They're people on their level. You know, so there's a sense of individuality, a sense of identity. There's kind of like a collection of people who between them cover a wide range of human endeavors. So you could say they're almost like a governing body spiritually on some level. So we have so many different understandings of what the divine is that I guess it really depends on what each person considers the divine. Some people have no problem with there being many personal gods, and other people believe that that's anathema or blasphemy to suggest that there are intelligent powers guiding our evolution that are not one being.
Does the god or gods you interact with depend on what you expect or believe?
I believe that they can adjust themselves to what you believe and communicate with you through whatever belief system you happen to have. I spent many years exploring other cultures, and it was like playing hide and seek. Eventually, you know, you'd contact something divine, only to find that it's the same divine forces you've been dealing with long behind another cultural mask. So, you know, I personally believe that the cultural masks are true on one level. If you look at them culturally or exoterically, and if you look at them esoterically, they're not as tribal. They're more universal than that.
So there may be one force behind all of it, but it depends on the individual to decide which one they represent, or maybe they tailor their message to a particular individual. This is going to be a real fascinating show, folks.
Thank you.
Hercules Invictus is the name of our guest. We're looking at Greek mythology, UFOs. He's got to get into ancient astronauts and Jungian philosophy and lots more. Our co-host is Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Thus we continue. Sounds good, nice and biblical. Thus we continue with Hercules Invictus, exploring the legends of Greek gods, interactions with UFOs. Let's talk about UFO connection here.
Okay.
Is there something way back when where we can find evidence of possible UFO presence?
Oh, of course there is. There's a lot in Greek mythology. There are robots, first of all. There was Talos, who patrolled the island of Crete. I believe it was once every 3 days he made his rounds, although I might be mistaken. It's been a while since I studied those particular stories. Hephaestus, on his forge on Lemnos, he had mechanical women helping him in his duties of creating weapons and items of artistic merit for the Olympians. So they had the concept of AI and robotics. In the Homeric hymn to Ares, I believe it is, they describe Ares as driving his chariot through the sky. So that conception, contrary to what most people think, is not something that was made up recently. The gods are often depicted as flying through the sky, not only in chariots, but in vehicles. There are certain paintings that are Greek and from the Christian era that very clearly depict people buzzing around in the sky in vehicles.
So where can people see these depictions now? Are they in museums or books that existed? You know, books from then, you know, aren't around anymore. How do we know about these depictions?
They're on the internet. If you type in ancient saucers, they'll pop up. They're in icons that are in churches or maybe now in museums. But from the Byzantine era, in the early days of Christianity, these were paintings that show very clearly in the sky UFOs.
Well, we've seen how the modern-day interpretation of strange things in the sky turn out. I mean, we tend to look at a more physical extraterrestrials from other planets. Mm-hmm. But when you go back to the ancient times and, you know, ancient Greece, when they would see, you know, the same things, I mean, UFOs have been around as long as we have, was their interpretations always, you know, tends to, oh, you know, it's the gods, look, you know, there goes Zeus, that sort of thing. Or like today, were there different interpretations that got bandied about?
Well, there are always different interpretations. Like, for instance, at Fatima, some people, what they reported was very similar to what a UFO experience would describe, and others, it was couched in religious terms, and still others saw absolutely nothing. Something happened, and for many people, the sun seemed to dance around, and there were other images that filled people's consciousness that were shared. But what actually happened there, I don't know personally. I don't know if anybody really knows. It's the same with a lot of these accounts. And also there are spurious accounts. Like I remember reading in the ancient astronaut literature that Alexander encountered UFOs in Tyre. I didn't quite believe it when I read it because I'd never heard that, and that was something that would have caught my attention when I was in Greek school and were studying all of these things. Jacques Vallée finally tracked it down, and that was a modern invention. But a lot of the accounts that aren't made up recently are actually genuine.
You classify them as genuine in what respect?
Genuine in terms that they were part of the experience of people and they were interpreted a certain way and they had an impact on culture in a certain way. I have something called, well, it's called different things. It was called the Regional Folklore Society in Pennsylvania. It was called the Center for the Study of Living Myth when I first came back to New Jersey. And they're rebranding it now. I'm starting my library talks again. So I don't know quite yet what that will be called ultimately, eventually. But it was a study of the stories people tell. And it was never our goal to prove or disprove the stories, although we did investigate the stories and we formed opinions over whether this was something that had reality behind it or not. But we were very much interested in how the stories affected individuals, the families, the community, and sometimes the greater culture. Because as we're discovering on the world stage now through various things that are going on, there are things that people believe that might not be true, and yet these things have a profound effect, again, on the lives of the individuals and groups of larger or smaller sizes.
In this country particularly,
people live in two different realities and swear that what they believe is true, even if you can show chapter and verse it's false. It's pretty screwy. Oh, yeah, I don't want to get into the politics of that because we have some people, when we get into politics, they have freak-out sessions. And we don't mind if a listener freaks out, but we have to keep it under control. Hercules, can you tell us your background? What got you started in this? Is it something you looked at as a kid or what?
Well, I'm Greek, so I went to Greek school and went to Greece. So that was the foundation of it. In Greek school, we spent years learning about mythology, the philosophers, ancient beliefs, the modern beliefs, the history, the languages, the philosophies, you name it, we learned it in 8 years. Because half the day was divided into Greek studies and the other half day was divided into what most American children would get in their schools. So I was provided with a very thorough grounding in all this. The newer religion didn't really resound with me as powerfully as the old stories did. So I grew up in a household where, you know, and in Greek households, there are tons of statues of the old gods. You know, we never quite let go of the old gods. So any Greek house you go to, they're going to have statues of gods in their yard or in their house. Or like in my house, every spare inch that's a flat surface has gods and things on it. It's part of the culture. And my parents would always say that I'm going to Olympus after death, but I could visit them because it would be too cruel of God not to let family visit each other in whatever afterlife they wound up in. I rebelled against my heritage, as most people do in as a teenager and as a young adult. So I wandered around through different belief systems, tried them on for size, and the areas that resounded with me the most turned out to be the areas that were most like the ones I started out with. So after a couple of decades of doing that, I came full circle and just stuck with what I knew and what resonated the most, and I've been there ever since, very happy with it. It's been a very big part of my life. If you could summarize what my life is all about in two words, it would be living mythology. I try to live mythology to the best of my ability, and my main focus is on living mythology, both ancient and modern. With the UFO phenomenon, regardless of its reality, also it's a modern mythology. You have all these stories, and the stories are lived by various people, and the stories evolve over time, and you have a cast of characters or types of characters. You have the Greys, you have the Nordics, you have the Reptilians.
And we have to break right now. We've got Hercules and Tim and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The Biden administration wants Congress to approve an arms deal that is worth more than $1 billion to Taiwan. It's due to increased tensions with China over the island nation's status. The State Department has signed off on three separate proposed deals on Friday. If approved by Congress, the deals will send contractor logistics support for Taiwan's surveillance radar program, plus missiles, along with related equipment. A spokesperson for the State Department says the U.S. being able to provide defense weapons to Taiwan quickly is essential to the island's security. The Russian-controlled Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine has been disconnected to its last external power line. But the head of a UN nuclear watchdog says that the plant was still able to run electricity through a reserve line amid sustained shelling in the area. This is USA Radio News. For the second time in a week, NASA has scrubbed the launch of its crew capsule into lunar orbit. A fuel leak is the cause of Saturday's launch being canceled. Earlier in the week, escaping hydrogen was to blame. No word on when NASA might try again. Bill Nelsa, the agency's administrator, says they'll go when it's ready.
We don't go until then, and especially now, on a test flight, because we're going to stress this and test it, and test that heat shield, and make sure it's right before we put four humans up on the top of it.
If extensive repairs are needed, the capsule could be in the hangar until October. Corey Wayne Patterson took off in two charges of grand larceny and making terroristic threats for stealing an airplane and circling the skies of northern Mississippi Saturday morning. He could face federal charges on top of that. At one point, Patterson threatened to crash into a Walmart in Tupelo. You are listening to USA Radio News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We sure do have a cast of characters in the UFO field, and not just the creatures allegedly seen, but the people.
Yes.
We have some really interesting people. Let me ask you a quick question before we go on, and you don't have to answer. Do you have a day job?
I do lots of things now. I write, I teach. I teach everything from kids in enrichment programs to people who are retired and in senior center type of situations. So I've taught most of my career. I've also been very active for over four decades in human services.
Human services being what?
I worked in psychiatric rehabilitation. I used to design pre-vocational programs for people who either had a background in mental illness or substance abuse, and I used to get them ready to work or return to work or return to school or whatever they really wanted to do with their lives for most of my career.
Let's go back to the UFOs.
Okay.
Now, if UFOs were present in ancient times, can we think that maybe the original gods that influenced all these myths were entities from other planets?
That's a possibility, and I wouldn't discount it. The ancients had a very different idea of what planets were and where they were in the sky and so forth. So they had entire belief systems based on what they thought. So in terms of the more ancient belief systems, it made a lot of sense. And that's why the gods are associated with the planets. And that's why in every book on magic, you'll find their correspondence tables to show you who the different gods are in relation to each other and to the planets. And we have it in our days of the week. the days of the week give you the occult information you need to decipher a lot of occult mysteries. You have Sunday, which is sacred to the sun, Monday, which is sacred to the moon, Tuesday, that is sacred to Tu or Tyr, and in Greek that would be Mars. Wednesday is Woden's Day or Odin's Day, and that corresponds with Mercury or Hermes in the ancient times. Thursday is Thor's Day, and that corresponds with Jupiter or Zeus. Friday is either Freya's Day or Frigga's Day, depending on who you talk to, and that would be Venus or Aphrodite. And Saturday is Saturn's Day. So these are the classical planets of antiquity. And in the Romance languages especially, you don't need to go like one or two steps removed to figure out which mythical figures you're talking about. In addition to giving you the planetary correspondences that you use to unlock mysteries, it also told you cross-culturally who you're dealing with beyond the cultural guises of the god in a particular pantheon.
What do you think of the pop culture in which comic book characters emulate supposed gods of the ancient world?
I think it's great. It's another way of looking at the ancient myths, and it's a lot of fun. I love comic books and comic book movies. I tend to like the ones that are mythological, that aren't as popular as some of the other ones. Like, I love the Eternals. I love Thor, Love and Thunder. Because, again, they're modern living mythology, and these figures that many consider to be dead gods are alive and well and interacting on the big screen. The last Thor movie brought Hercules and Zeus into the equation. I didn't particularly care for how they portrayed Zeus, but it was very creative, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
What did you think of the TV show Stargate SG-1, where they take gods from every culture,
yes,
they mash them together, and they become the villains?
Well, again, I didn't appreciate that they were the villains, but I loved the Stargate franchise. It was the old stories. They were doing something new with them and looking at the gods as parasitic snake beings, you know. So, again, I don't view the gods that way. In my experience, they're not. But it was an interesting way of looking at it, and I certainly had fun with the show. One of the things they did, which also happens spiritually, is in some of the theosophies of modern time, like the theosophy of Blavatsky and afterwards, you have all these gods working together in different heavens and in different capacities. So you could have like the Theban Hercules or Zeus sitting down with Kuan Yin and Buddha over tea, discussing how to help humanity through their current crisis. So that actually did happen, and a large portion of people in America who follow the I Am movement, for instance, they don't see the cultural divisions as being exclusive anymore. The gods have become inclusive not only in popular culture, but also in popular belief for many people.
Oh, and by the way, if you're a fan of Stargate SG-1, months after MGM, the studio that carried that show, was bought out by Amazon, it's now back on Amazon Prime in the U.S. So they have Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe. They don't have the two standalone movies yet. And there are lots of places where you can see the original movie with James Spader and
yes,
Kurt Russell, which was produced by Dean Devlin, and Roland Emmerich, who also brought you Independence Day. But I have a lot of fun with that show. I mean, I really do. Some of the stories are just really stupid. They keep revisiting a primitive mm-hmm. culture that has some kind of weird thing going on, and it could be repetition. The thing was on for 10 years, though.
Yes.
Sorry, mm-hmm. SG-1. How many TV series last for 10 years?
Not many. I have them all on DVD, including the cartoon series. Remember that one, Stargate Infinity?
No, I do not.
Yeah, there was a season or two. I don't remember exactly how many, but it was in a future time. And the storyline varied from what it eventually became with the gold and the ancients and so forth. So there's like an earlier conception of it.
Forgive me if I say this. I'm not a big fan of cartoons. I gave up with Bugs Bunny, Sylvester the Cat, Elmer Fudd, those things when I was really young. But when they brought in cartoon versions of real characters or realistic characters. I prefer the realistic characters. Just me.
Understood. I believe very strongly, and again, I believe that the Olympians are real and active today, but I believe very strongly what some of the ancients also believed, in that there were lost civilizations, like when Plato talked about Atlantis and he introduced that whole concept to Western society. He talked back then of how the Greeks knew nothing of ancient things, and how the Egyptians hold records, and Herodotus told us pretty much the same thing, of times that were, you know, much earlier. There seems to be ample proof of technology that shouldn't be there, like Tim had talked about very recently, about items that are found in solid rock, or footprints that are found that are humanoid near dinosaurs. You know, there are a lot of things that can't be explained except by the fact that their civilization and humanity may be much older than we think. And I'm forgetting his name now, Ignatius Donnelly. He speculated like ephemeris. I believe it's pronounced in English, did. Ephemeris was someone who was around during the time of Alexander. And he saw Alexander become a god in his lifetime. So he started looking at the ancient myths and wondering if maybe all the mythical figures were initially humans that kind of transcended humanity while they were alive and were immortalized in myth. And Ignatius Donnelly took the same approach, and he was a politician in Washington, and just like Plato brought it to the ancient world, Ignatius Donnelly rekindled the whole Atlantis adventure into our modern consciousness. He wrote a few books, and there too, his idea was that the Olympians were the original Atlantean gods.
You know, and we can go into more of this in detail in our next segment. Hercules and Invictus. The past, the present, the future. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is Be the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So Hercules, let's continue with this. Because of all the myths that we have to look into, all the stories, everything else. Now, that's a question, too. The legends of the Greek gods or gods from other cultures. Is it that they were so advanced or had magical powers, or they had technology that was so advanced you thought of them as being magic?
Well, they had you have the Antikythera device. For those who haven't heard of that, it's the first analog computer, and it existed during the time that's called Hellenistic, between Alexander and Cleopatra and a couple of the Caesars who were around after Cleopatra. And this device calculated the Olympic Games cycle. It calculated astrological and astronomical data as well. And they found one that was very intact, and they found, I believe, four or five more that weren't as sophisticated as that one, but you had analog computers. There are accounts, too, in antiquity of animatronics in Alexandria. So they had ways of making clockwork type of live cartoons, I guess. They were caricatures, they were art, but they would be able to tell stories that kind of like got wound up or powered, and people could see them move around, and you'd have something that wasn't live action in terms of people acting on stage, but you'd have mechanical things unfolding like they did at the World's Fair with It's a Small World After All, or I guess the Presidents in the Disney House, where you have basically puppets that are mechanical moving around. They had that in antiquity as well. There are also accounts of, do you know how you go to, when you go to a supermarket or a store and you step on a plastic mat and the door is open? We have descriptions of those from antiquity. We have descriptions of coin-dispensed beverage machines, where you put coins in the machine and a hot or a cold beverage would come out. So they had a lot of things in antiquity that were described. Archimedes, I believe it was, made like a device with mirrors that used to send rays of heat and burn the sails of enemy ships. So those are all historical examples rather than the mythical robots and other things that could be, I guess, attributed to technology. But there was actual technology as well. They flushed toilets in Crete thousands of years ago with hot and cold running water as well. We tend to think of those as modern inventions.
Well, somebody can read up this stuff and come up with something, get a patent on it, and then it's a modern invention. But I'm thinking here, if we had all this technology way back when, what happened to it? Was there some kind of worldwide cataclysm where civilization was just destroyed? What?
That's what the Egyptian priests supposedly told Solon in the Atlantis story, that every now and then there are cataclysms that destroy civilizations. The people that survive them are usually people in isolated places who aren't the most educated. So they have stories that they tell, and that these stories eventually become myths and legends. I remember in my childhood, I'm in my 60s now, I remember in my childhood, a lot of people used to scoff at primitive people who believed that you could communicate with others through the use of quartz crystals. And the quartz crystals had these magic powers to show you things that happened far away or long ago or that never happened, but they were part of like a mythic thing and so forth. The crystals led to the birth of the information age, and mostly everything that's been described in the crystal lore of yesteryear is actually true or was actually true. They might have forgotten the technology that the crystals powered, but certainly the fact that crystals can do this is no longer scoffed at. It's something that's taken for granted. So, yes, I believe there was technology. The internet that we have now sounds remarkably like the Akashic records or the astral records, as some people call them. All the things that the internet could do, the Akashic records did before, how you can tap into, again, information that wasn't available. You could look at things that happened long ago or things that happened far away or things that didn't happen. You couldn't always trust the spirits of the Akasha because they might be lying to you, or there might be so many different minds visiting it that you don't know what the actual truth is. So the idea of that existed in antiquity and survived in occultism. And now we have mechanical, technological aspects or versions of that, and we don't think it's a big deal anymore.
When I think of the possibility that advanced technology existed and then it went away for some reason, I'm wondering if anything came about that destroyed our civilization. What would survive a couple of thousand years from now?
That's a speculation. I don't know enough about science to venture a guess. But there are a lot of doomsayers now, and some of them come from the scientific community, warning us of global collapse. Some of them in a handful of years, like I believe Elon Musk predicted 12 years, and other people are saying within our lifetimes or the lifetime of our children that we can see our entire civilization collapse or our planet die. So hopefully we'll take action so that that doesn't happen. But the possibility of it happening now as well as in the past is always great.
You know, there have been other civilizations that also had their mythologies of another land, a homeland even for some of them, that sank beneath the waves or was destroyed by some kind of cataclysm, and the survivors, you know, fled to other lands. I think it was the Aztec had a story of the land they called, I think it was Atland.
And it was
destroyed, they said, by volcanoes. So it's interesting how, I mean, you know, you have all these different civilizations all across the globe with very similar mythologies along those lines.
Yeah, I've always found that fascinating, and I've studied that mostly when I was younger. It's phenomenally fascinating, and you wonder like how extensive these civilizations became. Like right now, let's go back to the Marvel comic book movies. They become a global thing. If civilization collapsed around the globe, these stories will all become part of emerging mythologies. And scholars, if there are scholars in our future who visit these isolated tribes and hear the giant green monster and the flying god with a hammer, or the spider boy, you know, whatever way these things survive in the stories, is going to wonder how people in one part of the world have the same stories as people from another part of the world. And it's true with mythology. There are figures and stories, like there are depictions of Hercules fighting the Hydra and choking the snakes in Mojica pottery in South America. And so they knew the story of Hercules, or at least certain incidents of it. How did they get it? We don't know. But there it is, you know, for anyone who knows the stories and has eyes to see.
Gene had asked at an earlier part of the show about where this old technology may have disappeared to and why it had disappeared. But it got me thinking, Hercules, that, I mean, there was a lot of science and technological wonders in ancient Greece that we know they had, but due to circumstances like the fall of Rome and then the Christian Dark Ages, all of that information just disappeared, and we probably ended up being, a thousand years behind because of that. Because if science had progressed with the Greeks without the interference from, you know, the Mongol hordes and then the Christian Dark Ages, how far along would our society be today?
Oh, much further. They knew of atoms back then. They knew a lot about astronomy. They had all sorts of information that, as you point out, was lost for hundreds of years. And we had to start over. And as the information emerged again, mostly through contact with the Arabs, it was hunted down, or the people proposing it were hunted down or burned, the works were burned. So I think we'd be a lot farther along technologically and in terms of civilization. We still struggle with that dark period, and there are still forces that are trying to drag us back into that. There was a movie called Agora. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was about Alexandria when it fell.
Let's do our break here with Hercules and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out TheParacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more.
Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.